Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 30, The Activities of the Prachetas, Text Number 13. Kandu pralochaya labdha Kanya kamala lochana Tam cha pa vidam jagri hoor Bruruhan ripanandana Kando pram lochaya labdas Kanya kamala lochana Tam cha pa vidam jagri hoor Bruruhan ripanandana Kando pramlochaya labda Kanya kamalochana Tam chapavidam jagrihor Bruruharipanandana Kando pramlochaya labda Kanya kamala lochana Tam chapa vidam jagrihor Bruha nripanandana Kando pram lochaya labda Kanya kamala lochana Tam cha pa vidam jagrihor Bruruhan ripanandana Ladies Kando la pram lochana labda Kanya kamala lochana Tam cha pa vidam jagrihor Bruhan ripanandana Kando pram lochaya labda Kanya kamala lochana Tam chapavidam jagrihor Bruhan ripanandana Kando Of the sage Kandu, Pramlochaya, by a heavenly society girl, try that again, by a heavenly society girl, named Pramlocha, Labdha obtained. Kanya, daughter. Kamala Lochana, lotus-eyed. Tam, her. Cha, also. Apavidam, given up. Jagrihu, accepted. Bruruha, the trees, Nripanandana, O sons of King Prachini Barhishat. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O sons of King Prachini Barhishat, the Heavenly Society girl named Pramochala, Pramlocha, kept the lotus-eyed daughter of Kandu in the core of the forest trees. In the care of the forest trees. Then she went back to the heavenly planet. This daughter was born by the coupling of the apsara named Pramlocha with the sage Kandu. So please repeat. O son of King O sons of King Prachini Barhishat. The Heavenly Society girl named Pramlocha kept the lotus eye daughter of Khandu in the care of the forest trees. Then she went back to the heavenly planet. This daughter was born by the coupling of the apsara named Pramlocha by the coupling of the apsara named Pramlocha with the sage Khandu. Purport. Whenever a great sage undergoes severe austerities for material power, the king of heaven, Indra, becomes very envious. All the demigods have responsible posts for the management of universal affairs and are very highly qualified with pious activities. Although they are ordinary living entities, they are able to obtain responsible posts like Lord Brahma, Indra, Chandra, and Varuna. As the nature of this material world, the king of heaven, Indra, as is in the nature of this material world, the king of heaven, Indra, is very anxious if a great sage undergoes severe austerities. The whole material world is filled with such envy that everyone becomes afraid of his neighbors. Every businessman is afraid of his associates because this material world is a field of activities for all kinds of envious people who have come here to compete with the opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As Indra is very much afraid of the severe austerities performed by the great sage Khandu, and he sent Pramlocha to break his vows and austerities. A similar incident took place in the case of Vishvamrita. From other incidents in the Shastras, it appears that Indra has always been envious. When King Prithu was celebrating various activities or sacrifices, outdoing Indra, Indra became very envious and he disturbed King Prithu's sacrifice. This has already been discussed in previous chapters. King Indra became successful in breaking the vow of the great sage Khandu, who became attracted by the beauty of the Heavenly Society girl Pramlocha and begot a female child. The child is described herein as lotus-eyed and very beautiful. Being thus successful in her mission, Pramlocha returned to the heavenly planets, leaving the newborn child to the care of the trees. Fortunately, the trees accepted the child and agreed to raise her. I wonder what kind of trees those were. Must have been very special trees. I haven't seen too many of them around lately. Kando Pramlochaya Labdha Kanya Kamala Lochana Tam Japa Vidam Jagrihor Bruha Nripa Nandana. O son of King Prachini Barhishat, the Heavenly Society girl named Pramlocha kept the lotus eyed daughter of Khandu in the care of the forest trees. Then she went back to the heavenly planets. His daughter was born by the coupling of the apsara named Pramlocha with the sage Khandu. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasutam Deve Gauravani Vracharane Nirvishesha Shnivadi Paskatya De Siddharane. In this verse it explains how the material world is associated with envy. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna had said, idam tu te guyatamam pravaksham anusuyave. Because you are never envious of me, Arjuna, therefore I'll explain to you this, both this theoretical and the application of that theoretical knowledge. Idam tu te guyatamam pravaksham anusuyave jnana vijnana saitam yajgyatva moksha se shubhat. And in this way you'll become freed from the miseries of material existence. In other words, generally speaking, everyone in the material world has come here out of enviousness. Now, of course, we're envious of little people. And what to speak of the big person, Krishna? If we can't tolerate the opulence of a little person, how much more difficult it will be to tolerate the opulence of a big person? Generally, everyone is in the mood of competition to become the greatest of something. And of course, the main greatnesses would be in the field of beauty or strength or knowledge or fame or strength or renunciation. And because people are quite, most people cannot compete in the fields of wealth or strength or fame or knowledge or renunciation. Therefore, they compete in little fields, like who has the best butterfly collection. Or they have other things like playing chess. I'm not beat everyone, but at least I can beat everyone in my block, or at least in my family. Therefore, I'm a good person. I'm a successful person. I'm a supreme in something. Behold my mystic opulence. Behold my butterfly collection. And if I don't have anything else, then I have the best goldfishes on the block or something. Something to make me, I have some profit, I have some adore. People come by and they look at my goldfish and they say, oh, that's fantastic. You have such nice goldfish. So I get adoration and I'm distinct. I have the only white striped goldfish in the world. Dandavats, you are my master. So there's unlimited competition in the material world. As a matter of fact, generally speaking, every relationship in Kali Yuga is based on some kind of competition. And the competition is such that people can't cooperate even in household life. Even the family members are competing with each other, even in household life. Especially in modern society, when the idea is that everyone should be powerful and have equal rights and self-esteem, and you don't bow down to anyone. That's especially the Western values. Don't bow down to anyone. Don't show anyone respect. Don't diminish yourself before anyone. You're as good as everyone. Let Indra come and don't. Let Balaram come. Let Brahma come. Let anyone come and just don't show them any respect. Don't demean yourself before Brahma. Don't demean yourself before the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You're as good as everyone. You're a god. So that's modern society. Of course, in the spiritual world, when the devotees bow down before Krishna, then Krishna surrenders to the devotees. And when the demons try to attack Krishna, then Krishna, he kills the demons. He reciprocates. So it's like that in the material world. And in practically every relationship, when we're trying to compete with each other, then there is a battle. And as soon as we surrender to the other person, even superficially or by some kind of strategy to win, then the result is generally the person becomes submissive. Dante trinad kuhakam nipatya. This is Prabodhananda Swami. He's saying Dante nidaya nidayam nipatya. Taking a straw between my teeth, bowing down before you 1,000 times and flattering you, saying, oh, great sadhu, oh, sadhuve. That if you want to win over someone, Then the best way of doing it is you fall down at their feet and flatter them 1,000 times. Oh, great sage, oh, great soul, your effulgence is so great, I can hardly see you. Please accept my most worshipable obeisances and praise. And then actually the person will think, what a nice person. What an intelligent person. He knows a good thing when he sees it. Now, let me offer him some benediction, because that's part of God's duty, is he offers benediction. Now that I become recognized as the Supreme, now I should do something for my devotee. Reciprocate. So what can I do for you? So the devotee says, oh, sadhava, you give up all your nonsense. Cast your speculations far aside and surrender to the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that's a strategy that Prabodhananda Saraswati has recommended. And even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Trinad api sunichena taraiva sahishnuna. It's not that first I get the upper hand and then I become humble. First they surrender to me and then I become humble. No, it's the other way around. If we actually become humble, then people will actually surrender. Bhaktivinoda Thakura has in his song that now with a humble heart, let me go out and spread the message of Lord Chaitanya. Of course, if one has a duty, according to one's duty, one has to modify that. But within oneself, one has to understand that one is a servant. Only if we have that attitude of service, then there's enviousness, service to Krishna specifically. If we're actually in the mood of serving the greatest, then how can we be envious of anyone? If we're a humble servant to the person who has all opulence, who owns everything, then where is there any question of being envious of anyone, considering that they just have a little bit of fraction of what Krishna has given them? Therefore, naturally, one can become a sincere servant of anyone if one is a sincere servant of Krishna. And if one is not a sincere servant of Krishna, then it doesn't matter who we're approaching. We'll simply be envious of them. Yes, sometimes the enviousness comes out in terms of just fighting with people, like the Kshatriyas, in order to win the hand of the damsel. They kill each other. And the winner, whoever is left standing, then he take the blood from the ones he vanquished and take it and smear her on her part, the blood over her part, indicating that he's the victor. Now, of course, people don't usually do that. They don't usually fight to the death and then take the blood of the winner and smear it on the lady's head where the part is, because they get arrested. Besides that, people don't know how to fight nowadays. And if they do, they usually take a gun and and after the blood's all over the place, they kind of stay away from it. But previously they used to do that. Now they put sindoor there. As if, you know, you're getting married, the bridegroom, he puts this, it's a big thing, just put the sindoor. What to speak of killing your enemy and putting blood there. Now it's a hard thing even to put the sindoor. So that kind of Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas used to pay, they had to support, etc., the family. Therefore, human life, Prabhupada would say, started from the brahminical class. When one is actually in the mode of goodness, then this competition is diminished. The Shudras, the competition is endless for sense gratification. Simply, I'm Tarzan, where is Jane? It just grows sense gratification. And for the Vaishyas, it's money. I have so much money, so therefore I can buy so many things and outperform any other Vaishya, therefore I'm the Supreme. And for the Kshatriyas, it's The ability to control. Well, it's all the different things. Sorya teja triti jaksha ide chapipalayanam danam ishvara bhavasya kshatram karma sabhavajam. Sorya, heroism. Tejas, power. Sorya tejas driti, determination. Daksha, expertise. Dana, giving in charity. Yuda chapalayanam, and courage in battle. These are the elements that make one actually a real kshatriya. And who was ever the best in these things, he would be considered to be the best kshatriya, the most powerful kshatriya. And generally he, in the pyramid, he would be on the top, and he would have to give tribute to all the other ones on below. I mean, he'd accept tribute from everyone else below. And therefore, power was seen as the mark of success or charity or whatever else, and everyone else would acknowledge it, and therefore the competition was minimized. Nowadays, people don't have power, nor do they have generosity, nor do they have courage in battle, just by some trickery, because there's only Shudras and a few Vaishyas, and therefore the Vaishyas, they simply trick the Shudras. There's no quality of... The quality is generally either darkest ignorance or ignorance, or the people who are on the top of the pyramid, they have a little passion. But it's all enviousness, competition. Therefore, because it's simply competition, I may make $1 million, but I'm not satisfied because my friends or my enemies, they have $2 million. And if I make $2 million, then I get new friends, and they have $4 million. Even if I have $100 billion, it's not enough, because there's someone who has $200 billion, and I got to compete with them. It's not only when I have $100 billion, I'm afraid I won't get to, somehow or another, the price of chapatis will go up, and I won't be able to afford them. No, the whole idea is, it's people are mad after competition in the material world to become God. Even when we're eating food, the real consciousness is that I'm the supreme. Even if I can't lord it over or control my family, I can't control my friends or my business associates, at least the carrot on my plate is offering full dandavats and surrender to me and is about to empower me to eat more carrots than cauliflower. After I accept its surrender and devour it and it becomes one with me as it merges into me and empowers me, that all the other carrots will also surrender too. So that mood of lording over the material nature is certainly there in practically everything, but especially in eating and sleeping and mating and defending. But the opposite of that, or the alternative to that, is to become Krishna conscious, to give up that competition by engaging people in the service of Krishna. Helping people, their people's real problem is enviousness. And therefore the only solution to stop enviousness is to engage Krishna's energies in Krishna's service. Everything else is simply a different variety of enviousness. Indra is not an ordinary personality. One doesn't just, apply for a job in the heavenly planets, and if you have a good resume, they make you Indra. It's not the way things work. One doesn't get to the heavenly planets unless one has exceedingly large amounts of pious activities. And what to speak of Indra, the king of heaven? But still we see he's envious. Of course, he's not as envious as we are, otherwise he wouldn't be Indra. We may think, oh, Indra was so envious, he sent this apsara Pramlocha for this poor sage Kandu. But it is mentioned here, Kandu wanted to become Indra. He had some material aspiration, and therefore Indra reciprocated with him, and he lost. After all, Indra understands these things, because in order to become Indra, you have to go through great austerity. And I'm sure that this Indra, whoever Indra is now, when he was a sage, some Indra sent some apsara to him. But he won. Therefore, he became Indra. So he more or less learned from the previous Indra what not to do and what to do to stop the next Indra, the next potential Indra. So this is a question of learning. So envious people learn from other envious people what to do in the material world so that they can win the competition. And if you don't win the competition, then you lose. But ultimately Indra loses too because Indra dies like everyone else. And according to what he starts out from wherever he left off before he did all his pious activities to become Indra. We should take note, and rather than compete with each other, trying to get to the next post and learning how we get to the next post by different methodologies. Because ultimately, we get to the next post, we die too, like everyone else does. And we have to start from where we left off. And if we don't do the pious activities, we also, in order to get whatever we want in this material world, whether it be a position or a material wealth or whatever else, then we have to suffer or enjoy the results of our work in order to obtain that particular situation. Rather than worrying about what we're going to gain and be concerned ourselves over what we so-called loss, if we can somehow or another do what's necessary to become free from enviousness by engaging our present energies in Krishna's service, then the result, if we become Krishna conscious, then ultimately we'll gain Krishna. And by gaining Krishna, then we'll not only be not envious, we'll fall in love with Krishna, but we'll fall in love with everyone else too. And rather than spending our lives simply competing with each other eternally in the material world, then we'll actually do something productive, namely serve everyone in the mood of love and devotion, and therefore make everyone happy, and we'll become happy too. The spiritual world is simply one big place where everyone's becoming happier and happier due to the loving nature of the reciprocation between the devotees and Krishna and the devotees with each other serving Krishna. And here all we can expect from now until time eternal, simply envious dealings with each other based upon personal and extended sense gratification. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Doesn't sound very helpful, hopeful for the material energy living here. But if you don't believe me, try it out. We've tried it long enough. We can try it a little bit more. See if somehow or another you can prove what Krishna says in the Srimad Bhagavatam wrong. I wouldn't recommend it though. Yes. Yes.
Thank you for the wonderful lesson. I would like to ask how does one get purified? And also, my understanding that one is envious because the heart is full of impurities. But how did a pure heart at one point become envious? So how does that happen? So you are not envious at one point, sometimes you are. What makes a person more envious?
Well, you're asking too many questions. I mean, I don't think anyone can. After a while, I can't. Enviousness, how to cure? That's what I said. We became envious because we became envious of Krishna. Why is Krishna always in the center? I should be in the center. And Krishna, when we want to be in the center, Krishna has different energies, some of the gross and some of the subtle, to put us into illusion, to thinking ourselves to be in the center. And that by our activities, we can become more and more in the center. So the whole material world is simply a manifestation of the enviousness against Krishna, manifested in different varieties. So how to get free from it? Engage everything in Krishna's service. tad buddhiyas tad atmanas tad nishtas tad parayana gajanya mudam avritim jnana nirduta kamashaha. Oh, one's faith, mind, refuge, intelligence are all fixed in the Supreme, that one becomes cleansed of all misgiving through complete knowledge and thus proceeds on the path of self-realization. So, engage our intelligence, engage our mind, engage our faith, engage our activities, all in Krishna's service, and then Krishna will cleanse us of all of our misgivings about him. Lust, anger, and greed, they're just misgivings about Krishna, that's all. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Krandarai Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.